Brandon,
how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know, I've had better days, but I've definitely had worse. That's for sure.
Why have you had better days?
Because, I mean, there's almost always an infinite amount of better days, right? You only have one perfect day.
Well, yeah, right? But...
And then everything else is crap after that.
But you haven't had your perfect day yet, so...
No, I haven't.
You're still looking forward to that.
Yes. Anyways, hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Writer's Block. My name is Braden Morehouse.
And I am Jake Flukiger.
And this week, we're talking about... It's our St. Patrick's Day theme. Happy St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to be talking about drinking and color in your writing.
Which will be interesting. It's an interesting theme.
Jake, where can everyone listen to us at?
They can listen to us on any streaming service, but especially if you go over to podbean.com, give us a little listen, a like, a comment, follow, all of that good stuff. We'd really appreciate it.
All that jazz.
And all that jazz.
Oh, don't sing. Please don't sing. Anyways, if you would like to join in the conversation, please hit that little mic button on the bottom left-hand corner of your phone, and you are welcome to join in. But before we start any of that, we have to do our off-topic topic.
Yay!
We have to do our off-topic topic. And this week, Jake is hitting me with a topic that I don't know. But I haven't asked Jake how his week is going. Jake, how's your week going?
I feel kind of like death warmed over. I've been sick after my surgery, and we are prepping our house to sell, so I've been a little bit busy.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So we had the photographer come today to do pictures and stuff, and yeah, it's moving forward much faster than I'd care to have it move forward. But it's going to be good.
That's good.
That's all I got.
It's a process, right? Like, I would say slow and steady, but if it's going faster than what you want it to, then okay, moving on, right?
We're just going to smile. Just going to smile.
Yes, dear.
But all we can do is smile.
Okay, we'll get through this. So
we'll get through this.
We'll get through it. Okay, let's move on to our off-topic topic.
Okay.
We got a lot to talk about in this week's episode. We got two topics in our show, like last week.
Yeah.
And that was a lot. So hit me with your best shot, Jake. What do you got? Fire away.
So you know how I absolutely love animals and all sorts of animal facts, right?
God, I can't imagine where this is going to go. Yes.
It's kind of a standard. Everybody knows it. If you haven't listened to the show before, you're going to know it now. So, my question for you, and there's only one right answer to this.
Okay.
So, you better get it right.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay? Because if you don't, we're going to have a serious talk about your life.
That's a lengthy conversation in itself, but okay, go ahead.
So, what is the... average speed of an unladen swallow?
What the fuck? 74 miles an hour? I don't know.
Oh, like... my gosh. You've ruined everything. We have to have a serious conversation about your life.
Because I don't know the average speed of a swallow. Get the hell out of here.
That is not the correct response. The correct response is African or European.
That... Jake, I can't with you. I can't.
Do you don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Carolyn knows what I'm talking about.
Well, good for Carolyn. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Brandon Morehouse.
There
is a classic film called Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I know. I haven't seen it in years, so I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. At least I'm not getting the reference. But wow.
See, you got to prep me a little bit for something like that. If we're referencing a joke in a movie from the 70s, you got to prep me.
No, that's why it's called an off-topic topic.
Well, you
have you have no clue what I'm going to ask you about.
Well, you failed on this one. I'm sorry. That one.
You are the one that failed miserably. Oh my gosh.
For real. Did I fail the joke? Yes. Did you fail on your we're not okay, we're done. We both failed. You failed more
nope.
than I did.
Nope.
Anyways. I'm so disappointed in you, Jake. Anyways, where should we start? Should we start with the drinking or should we start with the color?
I think that we should probably start with the drinking.
Okay.
Because that's what I have listed first.
Okay. So, as you may know, Jake, I'm sure you've never been drunk, have you?
I have never been drunk. I have had a couple of drinks in my entire life, and I have never been drunk.
I, on the other hand, have a 30-second keg stand. So, I've been drunk plenty of times. So, Jake, you ask me questions. Let's do that, because you probably have more questions about drinking in writing than I would.
Okay, so, obviously, most people drink more than I do. I think that's, we're just going to throw that out there, get that out of the way. That being said, why is alcohol so prevalent in literature?
Well, I mean, you pull from real life, right? People drink. That's normal. And depending on your time frame, like when the setting is, that's going to be more and more relevant. And especially because a lot of stuff can happen like in a bar, in a club, in a pub, in whatever you want, wherever you want to put them. There's a lot that can happen there. That tells a little bit more about the character and how they handle themselves in different situations.
Okay.
You're like, I don't. Okay, sure. Why not? Jake, are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here. Carolyn's talking.
Oh, okay. Oh, I can't hear her.
I can totally hear Carolyn. Brandon apparently can't hear you, though, Carolyn. Anyway, I can hear you.
Carolyn, you go ahead and continue on. I will step out and I'll come back.
Okay, sounds good. Perfect. So here's where we get to be very interesting with Brandon leaving, because I am not one that understands that much about drinking and getting drunk. But what I do understand is that there is a lot of this that goes on in literature in general. And of course, specifically for me, I am looking at like middle grade. Obviously, they're not drinking in middle grade, but yeah, we don't want to encourage that. But we do have a lot of drinking that goes on in the young adult sector. It's like this rite of passage thing. And it's fascinating.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, Brandon.
Okay.
Can you hear Carolyn?
I cannot hear Carolyn, but Kathleen said she can't hear Carolyn either.
Okay.
So maybe Carolyn, you step out, then you come back, because yeah,
because we want to hear you. We all want to hear you.
We definitely want to hear you.
So anyway, Brandon, I was talking about having drinking in young adults be kind of this rite of passage thing with parties and stuff.
Yes.
And we all know that that's totally illegal. And yet here we are like pushing this kind of agenda, I guess, that's part of life and part of this growing up deal. And that wasn't the case for me, but I know it's the case for a lot of young people.
Right. I mean, if you're talking that underage drinking, is that what you're referencing?
Yeah, because like in young adult, which is like basically like 14 to 18,
right?
Ish. There's you read about it all the time where these all the kids going to high school parties and everything and getting drunk.
Well, I think it's one of those things that it happens. It's kind of the reality of the situation, right? Those are going to happen now. It doesn't happen to everybody, but parties do happen more than we probably realize, right? Especially at that like 14, 15, 16 year old age where they're kind of, there's not a whole lot to do. I'm not by any means saying that it's okay, but it does happen, and it tends to glorify it and make it seem really super cool. But the way I was raised was my dad had always said, I would rather you be responsible and learn how to do it than be out there driving around. So we were allowed to drink at home.
Oh, wow.
In front of our, like, my mom wasn't a fan of it, but she understood it. Like, nope, I would rather, and we weren't, it's not like we went home every night and got shit-faced by any means.
Well, but, I didn't figure as much. Jeez.
Yeah. It was one of those things where it wasn't that big of a deal, and they understood, like, it's going to happen. Just be responsible about it. But you also have to think, like, that's in kids' faces everywhere else. Like, it's on every TV show. It's in books. It's in movies. And it glorifies it. Tends to show it being a really good thing and making it look super cool. So books are kind of no different at that point.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. Brandon, can you add Carolyn?
Yes, I will add her.
Okay, and let's see if that makes a difference.
So I, and you know, a relative age is all relative to your state, right? There's countries where it's like, I think over in France, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like the drinking age is 12.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know that if that's the truth or not. That could be an extreme. But it's one of those cultural things where it's like, yeah, that's normal. If you don't make it a big deal, it's not that big of a deal.
I can hear you. I don't think Brandon can.
I cannot hear Carolyn. It still shows her as connecting on my end.
Well, I have her as a speaker, so yeah. So she's just talking about how there is a difference in environment.
Yes, 100%. There's a difference in environment and age and time frame, and there's like all these things that play into it. That yeah, it's kids see it every single day now, and I think that for putting it into books is not that big of a deal. But I could see how some parents would be like, I don't want to make a reading about people getting drunk. Well, then there's going to be a lot of TV shows that you're not going to see, like a lot. Because it happens in a lot of TV shows.
Yeah.
In some form, right? Like,
Carolyn says that you are right, Brandon.
I know. I generally am right.
But hold on. That is something that is, I think, pretty common for a lot of people. It wasn't for me, but talking to people now, I'm like, oh, okay. So I think that is, so Brandon, Carolyn's just saying that their entire 20s was kind of a massive hangover.
See, I never really had hangovers in my 20s. I never did. I didn't start having hangovers until my mid-30s, I would say. I never really had any hangovers until the last couple of years, I will say.
Some people can just handle what they got.
But my background, my genetics work in my favor in that aspect because I'm French. French, Irish, English, and Norwegian, like Viking. So I'm kind of built for drinking. Like,
yeah, no. And Kathleen says she still can't hear you, Carolyn. We're just gonna keep rolling through, steaming through that. So, let's see. So here's my question for you, Brandon. Is okay. That being said, that it's everywhere all the time for these teens.
Yeah.
As a YA author, should I include that in my writing or not?
I think that would be dependent on the story. I mean, I'm not saying throw it in there just to throw it in there, but if you have a character in high school, right? Having them go to a party, yeah, it's a total trope and it's super cliche, but it works. Like, it makes sense, right? They're going to this house party, they get drunk off of one beer, right? And that's it. Like, it doesn't have to be a whole lot. Like, but there's a difference between a high school party and like a group of friends going out to drink and a group of friends going out and having some mimosas at brunch. Like, there's a difference in how that would work out. So if it works for the story, I would say put it in there, because it's a lesson learned. Like, what did they learn from that? What was their takeaway on it? Like, oh, I'm never drinking again. And then you've built that character. They're never drinking again. And then you could have a situation later on where they're presented with alcohol and they're like, oh, no, I don't drink, right? Like, yeah. That could help with that character arc, or something bad could happen at the party, right?
Yeah.
So the setting works, and they don't even have to necessarily be drinking at the party. They could go to the party and not drink at all, right? So there's aspects where it works in the favor of your character, in either way, because that's a core memory of going to those like parties or what have you. I mean, mine, we drank in the cornfields, but I'm
from that. That's just a little different, Brandon. Just a little different. I will throw this out there. Like, I grew up in a very, very, very religious household,
right?
And so for me, it was like, oh my gosh. No drinking, no anything like that. So when I went to parties, we actually played board games and stuff. I didn't go to the type of parties where there was drinking, probably because I wasn't cool enough to be invited to those.
I would have invited you, Jake. I would have invited you.
That's so sweet of you.
I wouldn't have given a shit what the other kids thought. But I'm that type of friend where I'm
you
like,
are that type of friend.
Fuck you. Oh my gosh. If I want to bring him, he's fine. He's cool. Leave him alone. Plus, so, he's my DD. So
exactly. So I think that it might be fun to play around with that as part of my writing for some of the YA stuff that I do. I think it would be interesting.
I think it would be good. And like, you can have them like experience what it's like to be drunk. So Jake, you'll definitely have to get a beta reader on that one.
I will definitely have to have a beta reader.
I will volunteer
because I have, like, other than what I see on the movies and the TV shows, I have no idea. So
I mean, I feel like the movies and TV shows are pretty accurate on what it's like, because it's just like, you have no, I mean, everyone's a different type of drunk, so you have to determine what kind of drunk your character is. Are they a mouthy drunk? Are they a funny drunk? Are they a laughy drunk? Are they quiet? Like, everyone's different personality comes out. Okay. But I will say, a cold tile floor feels really good when you're drunk.
Okay. All right.
And anybody who's been drunk knows what I'm talking about.
I will just make sure that there is a tile floor out in that cornfield.
Okay. There you go. Like, oh, this tile floor feels good. Just lay there.
You are ridiculous.
That's what you did. That's how you always feel better. You go in the bathroom, lie by the toilet, and just lay down.
Gross.
I'm not joking when I say that.
I know. Gross.
Carolyn's giving me the 100%. Knows what he's talking about.
All right. So, Can you name, Brandon, a couple of famous works of literary fiction that have drinking in them?
Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings. Does it have to be like drinking? I mean, Great Gatsby.
No, it can be anything.
The Great Gatsby. You can't have You can't have that time frame without having drinking in it, right? Prohibition. Yeah. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. Those are the first two that come to my mind.
I will absolutely say that there is probably drinking in every single novel that you've read so far.
In some form there is, I'm sure. But I wanted to think of specific scenes to make sure I knew what I was talking about. But yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, it's part of life. So when we talk about this in reference to St. Patrick's Day, and kind of that Irish feel to things,
yes,
we have to kind of take into account that there needs to be some drinking games, right?
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
Like, what do you mean?
What? You say there need to be drinking games, but like, what do you, like in the story?
Yeah. Stories have to have drinking games, right?
No, they don't need to have drinking games. You can just go sit down and have a pint.
All right.
And have a drink. But I mean, if you're going to have like, if you're writing a story, I mean, you can easily throw in some beer games, beer pong. You could have them do a keg stand. Like, there's games you can do. Like, we always did what we always put on it. Like, when me and the friends would drink in college, we would all kind of hang out in the dorm room and watch some TV, and we'd pick out a word. And, like, we'd watch Sex and the City, right? And whenever there would be, like, a reference to, like, a sexual reference, it's take a shot. You had to do it every single time. So you can incorporate games like that, but I think you're thinking like board games.
You don't know things.
I don't think I would do like drinking Monopoly.
Why not? That's how you pay your rent.
No, you're not paying your rent if you're spending all your money on drinking.
But maybe.
No, Nick, don't do that one. Don't do that. I mean, there's different games you can do. But I would be interested, how would you write your character as them drunk? That's my question for you, Jake.
Well, obviously they would be so drunk they would black out and not remember anything.
Okay, so, but would you cut that off? Like, you're in first person perspective, right?
Sure.
Okay. And so they're just blackout drunk and they don't remember anything?
Well, yeah. Isn't that like the whole entire thing of that one movie?
Which movie? That's not specific enough.
The one where they can't remember anything.
The Hangover?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, but that's because they were also given drugs.
Oh, well.
But as of, like, you can't just end the scene with, like, you have to have them, you don't end up, there's a process to getting drunk, right? Like, your inhibitions get lowered, you start slurring your words, you have physical reactions before you get there. Blackout drunk is, like, the end game. Like,
okay, so basically what you're telling me,
if you're that far, you've had too much to drink. You're cut off.
What you're telling me is that there's a lot more to this process than I am aware of.
Yes. Yes. Like, there's a system you have to go through to get them there, and I would be interested. Like, you don't know, so you don't know not to ask, right? Or what to ask. So, because it takes time for your body to process it, and depending on what you drink will be dependent on how your body handles it. And there's a lot of things that play into these factors. A lot of things that play into it. your height, your weight, what you've eaten, how much you've eaten, the alcohol content of the beer, and or hard alcohol if that's introduced, and if you're mixing hard alcohol with beer or with wine or such and such. Like, there's so many things that play into it to how quickly you get, like you said, blackout drunk, that you can't, you saying, oh, it's just going to be blackout drunk, that, Jake, we need to spend some time in talking about, if you want to write a scene like that, you and I need to have a very serious conversation on how to go through this process.
Well, and that's what we're talking about it for, is so that people like me, the very rare people like me, will just, you know, they'll understand how to do this.
Right.
So there's a process to it. There's all these factors that go into it. But yeah, in order to write a good drunk scene, I guess.
Right.
What are some things that we're really looking for?
Well, I would be looking at how your character is acting, because everyone changes when they've been drinking. Now, I would probably just go with the basics. You slur your words, you're stumbling, your mannerisms are not as like on point as what they should be. There's definitely something not right. And I would stick with those, especially if you're writing a young adult one. That's probably where I would stick, because you don't want to go too far with it. And it's like, ugh, he took that scene a little too far.
Yeah, keep it to the basics.
Yeah, I would say you wouldn't go much further than that. And as a teenager, you don't go much further than that. Because
you think you're cool, you're drinking, and you're really
if
not.
If you're drinking to the extent of blacking out as a teenager, there's a problem. Like, a problem.
Well, that's good. I will tell all sorts of teenagers that I know that that's a problem.
Unless you're, and there's a new thing now that that they do. And I'm going to say it on here, and with all due respect to everybody involved, it's where they drink through their butt. Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah.
Just yeah. No.
No, that's the thing. And I'm like,
oh. Yeah, no.
But no, nope. don't have your character do that. Please don't have your character do that.
Nope, not happening.
So what are you thinking about your character and them drinking? Now that you're processing this, right?
Well, yeah. I think that if I were writing a character, I think that they would probably just be, you know, sipping at something. And if I were to have a character going too far, it wouldn't be the main character.
Yeah. I mean, there's always those like rowdy ones that are just plastered and you're like, whew. But yeah, don't have your main character doing that. And I would probably have them drinking beer, because I don't think, I mean, it's going to be some cheap shit. PBR. Kids like PBR now. It's trendy.
Okay.
Carolyn laughs. PBR stands for Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's a cheap, mainly water beer. But
I'll have my mind be classy and drinking seltzers.
Shut the hell up. Stop it. Stop it! No. Well, but here's the problem with that. There's different kinds of seltzers too. So there's like vodka seltzers, and there's beer seltzers, and there's different types of stuff. But you have to remember, like, these kids are kind of probably stealing the beer from their parents. It's not like they're going out buying it. So their parents would have to have it, right?
Yeah.
So you got to think about that. Are their parents? Well, what are their parents drinking?
They have classy parents with tile floors.
Shut the hell up.
I'm just saying,
like, don't more tell to me it, to so shut up. You got to know your, like, if it's this, like, I don't want to say demographic, but what are their parents' income levels? And there's other things that play into that too that would make more sense. Like,
I would imagine, like, if you have a kid that's coming from a rich family, they'd bring, like, a bottle of wine or some shit like that. Like, because that's what you did at the party. Everyone just brought something.
So here's another thing that's outside of YA into adult. Can the type of alcohol that your character is drinking tell you things about your character?
Absolutely. Like I just said, their drink can deter, like, can kind of tell you about their, I don't want to say social standing, but it can. And then it can also be like, what's their income levels? Like, if they're drinking a vodka martini,
I'm going to try this one more time. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Carolyn.
Oh my God. Anyway. But it's true. Like, if you're middle class, average, whatever, you're not going to be drinking vodka tonics, you know, in your smoking jacket. So,
yeah. I'm not saying it would define it, but it would be that little, like, it would be a little clue on their financial status, right?
But so if your character is, you know, drinking a vodka tonic with a cigar and he's like 15, I mean, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
If that's the way they grew up, maybe, but don't.
And that's the thing is, like, that's totally what I'm saying too, is like, so they're going to replicate what their parents are doing, or they're going to replicate what they, especially if it's like adult characters, they're going to say, this is the quality or the line that I have that says, this is the type of person I want to be perceived as.
Right.
Okay. So, okay. So unless they, you know, got the feeling of being drunk and was like, oh my God, this is amazing, and they turn into the woo girl of the party. But
the what?
Jake doesn't even know what that is. Woo! Shut up. Who brought her?
What? Oh my God. The woo girl is. And sadly, I'll be 40 in June. So, you know, and when I do drink, I turn into a woo girl. She's the girl.
You're a woo girl. Oh. Well,
only every now and again. Because I only drink like once a year.
Well, Jake, a woo girl is... Let's explain this to him. Jake, a woo girl is a girl that gets drunk and she's like, woo!
She's like... That's all she... Just, she's wow. Flopping herself all over other people at the bar, like, oh my God, you're my best friend. Do you want to go out and smoke? Are you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? Oh my God, I love this song. So, yeah.
Okay. That's I'm getting the picture.
That's a woo girl.
All right. That works.
So it all depends on, like, what your character, you know, wants to be seen as, but also what they feel inside. You never know. Maybe they do get crazy drunk and, you know, it's a learning experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's say I'm going to give you three different drinks and you give me three different characteristics for each of those characters.
Got it. Can you name three drinks?
Yeah, I can name three drinks.
You cannot say vodka tonic. Okay. Anything that's been previously mentioned in the show, you cannot say.
Coors Light.
Coors Light, I would say blue collar trucker.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say a vodka Red Bull.
Teenager, young adult who wants to stay up all night so they can drink more.
Yep. By
the Red
Bull. Early drinker.
Yeah, definitely like 5 p.m. or God knows what time.
Yeah.
A vintage bourbon.
Oh, God. That's Hugh Hefner in his smoking jacket.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say 50 plus male. Like.
Okay. So basically, we've established now that every single drink, what you drink, determines the type of character that you are.
Yeah.
Or the type of character that you're writing.
I mean, I wouldn't say it determines it, but there's definitely characteristics of, yeah, that tends to drink. Like, that... There's
I mean, yeah. It's a sad fact of the world, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Brandon, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Before we maybe switch gears to our color part.
I know. I'm kind of having fun with this drinking thing.
I know. Okay. So am I. So there's this other phrase that is thrown around a lot in writing. Okay. Which is write drunk, edit sober.
Ooh. Okay.
Have you heard of that one before?
I have heard that one before.
Okay. So describe to our audience what exactly that's talking about. And well, I will say, to preface that, this phrase has been attributed to a lot of big time authors, but all of those are not true.
Yeah. I think it more comes from like artists in general tend to be like substance users. And I'm not just saying drinking, but like there's this not aura, but like we want to reach different levels. So there's like drinking and a lot of them use drugs and so on and so forth. And it's hard to like see things differently unless you're experiencing that. And it's a very emotional job, right? I'm going to get this on paper. It's such a great idea. And then you're writing it. And then you go back and edit. You're like, ooh, that's not good. That's not what I thought it was like. Carolyn, go ahead.
Basically, yeah, everything I wrote in my early 20s. you hit a point when you're inebriated that you're like, oh my God, you know, the divine is speaking through me. I must write this down. And then you sober up and you read it and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So.
And that spot's a fine line too. Cause then you like, you have one more drink and you're beyond that. You're like, oh, I don't even know what's happening anymore.
And that's the thing is write drunk, edit sober. And you see a lot, popular media would have us believe that, you know, writers and artists and whatever are all drunks and drug users.
Right.
But look at Hemingway. I mean, the man, he's like one of the best known authors. And I think he died of alcoholism when he was 30.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hemingway is who the phrase is attributed to a lot of times. Not true, but you can understand why he was the one who was like, they say, you know, he did it. See, and I always took it as like drink, like write drunk, like, and I took that to mean like have a glass or two. And then as you're kind of loosened up and your brain's kind of woozy and whatever, like then you can release your inner muse and write all this great stuff, and then you come back and you edit it sober so that you can say, all right, this worked, this didn't.
Sure, let's go with that, Jake. Let's
that like the hearts and rainbows version?
I mean, that's what I feel like you're encouraged to do, but yeah, it doesn't always work that way.
It doesn't, because then you get going on drinks and you just don't stop. Like, it's just, I know my level of where I'm like, if I have one more, this is going to be an all-nighter. That's just what it is. So it's like, I'm going to walk away now. Oh, and then someone's like, oh, I'm going to buy you a shot. Okay, well, guess we're going all night. Like, shit, here we go.
Just Kathleen, how it works, right?
Kathleen, do you have anything to add to this? Your mic is live.
I've really been enjoying this conversation. And I had two things to say. I think while I was writing something really intense, I might have had a glass of wine every now and then, just to help me relax. And sometimes my emotions would flow onto the paper quicker.
Yeah. Or
easier. Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know if we'd call that medicinal.
we will totally call it medicinal.
Okay. Let's call it medicinal.
And the other thing I probably wanted to say earlier in this conversation was, you know, we've talked a lot about young people drinking and the party aspect of some of that. And so I just finished a novel that was adult. And alcoholism was very much involved in this, and there was domestic violence and all of that. So, and you were talking about levels or types of drinking, what your choice of alcohol might be when you're writing about maybe an alcoholic. And I'm also, well, I'm a retired nurse now, but I worked with a lot of alcoholism during my time in nursing. And usually the level of alcohol was much stronger for people who sincerely had a problem with it. You know, it'd be like scotch or, I don't know, vodka, gin. You know, it usually it wasn't especially beer. It seemed to be higher content, alcohol content. In that,
well, it's more potent, right? Like that, it's stronger, and that's what they need because they've built up a tolerance for
right. And everything. Then, as far as the writing aspect of the character went, because Jake, you were talking about that with you know, the younger group, but in the adults, like with alcoholism, you could then be talking about, you know, either the family or the people that might associate with that person and what the triggers were that would trigger that person to drink more. And then the big response to that, and can get very, very dramatic. But in this book I just read, it was, you know, it was a problem. And so there's so many things like, that you can write to do with alcohol.
Oh, because and I agree. You bring it to you're bringing it to a whole different level, Kathleen.
Right.
It's a coping mechanism for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like I know of I know of some military friends that that's how they handled their PTSD.
Right? Yeah. And that's exactly what this book was about, as a matter of fact.
And it's, you know, and it's a depressant. So you drink because you're depressed, and then you're depressed because you drink. So it turns into this vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And so you're bringing up a very valid point. Cause I mean, if for Jake, for your instance, what if one of your kids, what if one of the characters, their parent was an alcoholic? Like,
yeah,
that could be a very real thing.
A whole storyline right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, especially getting deeper into things like that, it really, whether it's for, especially for the adult audience as well, can give you a really deep dive into a character's mental health and what they're dealing with. And so,
well, and that could be why your character, like if you have a character go to a party and they don't drink, that could be why, because they've seen one of their parents or both their parents and how they handle their alcohol, and they are afraid that they're afraid of what's going to happen to them, right? That cycle then makes sense, right? They've seen the effects of it and they don't like it, so they choose not to.
Yeah, right? Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kathleen, for bringing that up. That's a very, very valid point. It's not all fun and games.
Like, no, it's not. But I read this book in like 6 days, and it was almost 600 pages long. Wow. I was really engrossed by this book. And it had all those things. You know, it was very in-depth. I needed a lot of Kleenex. But, you know, the author did a great job.
Well, good.
That's awesome. We like when authors do a good job.
Yes. What book was it, Kathleen?
The Great Alone, Kristen Hannon.
That's the second time this week I've heard that title.
I'm gonna have a look at it. It's Well, I'm not going to go through the story, but it was a great book. It was only the second book I've read of Kristen Hanna, and both have been good. I know there's a lot of big fans of hers out there, but I read two back to back, my first two ever, and they were very in-depth, and both had to do with Vietnam vets.
Interesting.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Yeah. That doesn't shock me. That's a tough one.
But it was written very well.
All right. Good to know.
Go.
All right, Brandon.
Jake, what other drinking questions do you have? Because I feel like, well, I mean, we've been on this topic for 45 minutes. We're barely going to be able to touch on the color, so I don't know how much coloring we're going to get done.
How much coloring?
I love coloring. I didn't mean it like that, but it would just kind of flow like that.
I love coloring. Let's be honest. I have so many questions about drinking because it's just not something that I do. And so, well,
you know what? We can do drink. Let's finish this one out with drinking questions, and we could add color theme to season 4.
Yeah, we can totally do that.
Let's do that. Yeah, I'm down for that. Okay, I'll put it on the schedule right now. So, Jake, what questions do you have?
So we've talked about how characters can use alcohol. We've talked about how the types of alcohol can tell us a lot about the characters themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Are there characters that define what an alcohol type means? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, are there famous characters that are like James Bond?
Okay.
James Bond's like drink,
yeah,
is pretty iconic.
Yeah, and it's wrong.
What? Oh, what? Why?
Because you don't shake that drink; you stir it.
Well, also, James Bond. Remember, he's a character, because if he was realistic.
Yeah.
First off, he sleeps with every woman he meets, so he would have all the STDs.
Yeah.
He never actually finishes his drink.
Yeah.
So he's more of a social, like, I do this for the class, you know.
He does it's for the image.
Yeah, the image.
He's putting out an image at that point. But yeah, you don't. He says shaken, not stirred, and you should stir it. That's how the proper mix is going to happen. And I know this because I've managed bars before and I work in a brewery.
But here's the thing. Like, everybody knows that drink.
Right.
And so because everybody knows that drink, if you were to give a character outside of James Bond that order or that drink, right?
Yeah.
Would people know, would that tell you a lot about that character?
So, like, if you have a character that walks up to a bar and it's like, hey, I want a martini shaken, not stirred.
Yeah.
I would joke on that. And I would be like, I would have the bartender be like, you know, that's not correct, right? That's a cliche. Like, that's James Bond just ruined that drink. Like, I would have him call that out. And because he's a movie buff, right? That's where I would go with it. Like, oh, he's a movie buff, that character that you're talking about. Likes his James Bond movies because he wants to try that drink. Outside of that, like a character that has like a signature drink, is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Like, can you take that a step, the whole entire, like, the drink tells you about the character, and if you were to give another character
that same drink,
would it tell you about that character?
I don't think it would go the way that you think it's going to go. I think it would like almost look like kind of poser-ish.
Okay.
Like, you're only ordering that drink because James Bond ordered that drink, which tells me you've watched James Bond's movies, right?
That's or read the books. We are
or read the yes, excuse me. But that's where my mind goes with it. So I'm not, I don't think it would be like, oh, he's a James Bond type because he's ordering a James Bond. Well, he's not, because he doesn't have that James Bond like aura. Like, he doesn't have that like James Bond or James Dean sort of a feel, like those sort of things to it. Like, I wouldn't associate a character's personality based on another character's drink.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. And if you do decide to do it, I would do it in like a joking manner. And then kind of call yourself out on it. Carolyn, go ahead. You got your hand up?
Yeah, I agree, because the only other character that comes to mind with like a signature drink would be Fraser Crane. He always has like a glass of wine or something, or a claret. And so for me, like a signature drink, you're a snooty old man. It's very strange. So
he had a sherry.
Yes. So yeah, Jake, I don't know if you could do that without coming off as, but Brandon and I are also apparently very cynical and jaded. So.
Oh, I'm pulling it back right now. I'm holding back. I'm like, don't fucking do that, Jake. We're going to talk in the after show.
Like, we will have words.
Yeah. Uh-oh, M's coming on. Here comes M. She's going to be like, what is wrong with you, Jake? Don't you dare do that. But I don't have a problem if you'd want to do that. But again, Jake, like I said, if you do it, make it more in like a joking kind of a way. Like, you're paying homage to this character through the joke of this person getting it and then someone calling them on their bullshit, and it kind of makes it a funny scene.
Okay.
And I know you've got
tact for it.
Yeah. And I know you got something to say about this.
I really don't, other than the fact that I always found it amusing because I love Gene Simmons. I'm not a big Kiss fan, but I love Gene Simmons. And to watch that he orders milk while everyone else is ordering liquor is hilarious.
Yeah. I love it. See, that's brilliant. Like,
that sticks so in your head, and I've always wanted to create a character like that, that would be that confident, that wealthy, but decided, you know, nah, don't drink. Look, can I just get milk?
Yeah, can I just get a glass of milk? Like, sure.
I love it.
You king of rock, you. Yes, you can gladly have a glass of milk.
You can have whatever you want.
Yes. Okay, Jake, what any other questions, because we're quickly running out of time here.
I know. Let's see.
Wait, do you have them written down?
No.
Yes, you do.
I do not. I don't have any written down, I promise. I'm trying to think off the top of my head about drinking stuff, but sure. I guess I don't know what to ask because I don't drink.
Yeah. You don't know because you don't know. And I don't think anybody would hold that against you, right? Like, you just don't know.
I think that when I read characters that do drink,
yeah,
sometimes it's like, ooh, that's like super good. Like, I think the whole entire tone of the scene tells you how to feel about what they're drinking or how they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're drinking at all, like I love the small parts that you have in, I know one. So
okay.
Toasts are a big deal in book.
Okay.
What is the key to a successful toast as far as in literature?
Like, what's the situation? Because there's different levels of toasts. Like, are you congratulating someone on graduating? Are you saying congratulations to the bride? There's different levels. But I mean, for me, a successful toast would be short and sweet, right? Don't make it too lengthy. Like, I don't need a whole backstory of blah, 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 when you could have somebody, oh, we met in college and like, trying to tell this entire story, and then just somebody being like, can we just drink? Like, yelling it out, like, joke with it and have some fun with it. But a successful toast, I wouldn't say needs to be very long, but it needs to be sincere.
Okay. So sincerity. And obviously, if you are having your main character as the one that's toasting, having that coincide with the type of voice that they have.
Right.
So, like, the Count of Monte Cristo would have a very different voice than the father of the bride.
Yeah, very different. Very different. Like, yeah, I can't even.
But both of those can be short and sweet, and they can really tell you a lot more about the character in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the relationship that they have with the person that they are toasting.
Absolutely. They can.
So little things like that can be a big deal in our writing, because we want to do as much as we can with as little as possible in a lot of ways.
It's all about the nuances, right? Those little nuances that build a character.
And I'm trying not to rag on Dickens, but his descriptions are forever long.
God damn. Yes, no, they are. Shit.
So I have a hard time. It's like when it's like 5 pages describing the tree and everything. And I really just want him to be like toasting the tree. Let's have a drink underneath the tree and move on.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't need to be a half of your book. I get it. It's a fucking tree. It's a pine tree.
No, no.
I mean, whatever tree it was, right? Like, yeah, if I can get it, moving on.
Yeah. So, Brandon, do you have any questions for me as a non-drinker?
No, I don't. Like, I applaud you for not drinking, Jake. That takes some self strength, internal strength, to not succumb to that.
Okay, so here's the thing. Wine tastes like rotten grape juice.
That's what it is.
It is disgusting.
Okay.
It is so gross.
You've not had good wine then, but okay.
Beer smells like piss.
Ew.
All the other ones burn your throat like so badly. It's like 10 times worse than carbonation.
I think you would do well with a seltzer.
I can drink seltzer. Do I like to drink seltzer? No, because it's still carbonated and it hurts my throat.
Oh my God.
I really want you to build a character on exactly what you just said.
Okay. I can totally do that. It will just be me on the page.
Because that would be so funny to like have like a college dude going, no, I don't want that beer. It smells like piss.
Well, in the movie Can't Hardly Wait, the geek, William Fisher, gets absolutely plastered. And when he first takes a sip of beer, he's like, do not drink the beer. It is spoiled. And everyone's like, tastes like beer to me. It's fantastic.
It's PBR. That's what it tastes like. Like,
and now I'm sitting here looking at my glass of wine going, rotten grapes. They don't taste so bad.
You see, I'm not opposed to people liking it. I know that people have sophisticated tastes and that they like these things. I just would rather have water.
That's also part of the drinking like world, right? You have to find something that you like.
Right, but
That takes time.
You do you, you know? If you want your character to just not want to drink, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling.
I do have a question, Brandon.
Go ahead.
You're a bartender or have ran a bar, and I'm going to ask a question that's going to make me seem completely stupid, and that's okay. All the olives in a martini.
Em, you were breaking up there. What did you ask?
I said, what's the point of all the olives in a martini?
I don't know where it comes from, because a lot of people now do it without the olives. But I think it was more for the look than anything, because it has a certain look. It's a classic look now that you see, like, when Mad Men came out, right? People jumped to those classic 50s drinks, the bourbons, the martinis, all that. And there's not really a reason for it. It's because people like to stir that a little bit, and that stirs, so you put that on there instead of a straw. So you put that olive on to give it that zing of a look. Oh. As far as flavor profile, I don't know any. I am not aware of any reason that it's there.
Because olives are disgusting.
Okay, just curious.
Do what, Carolyn?
Because olives are disgusting.
Oh, 100%. They're fucking gross.
I got on here late because I couldn't get in, but did y'all discuss the difference between whiskey and whiskey?
We did not.
In the spelling, whiskey with an E is Scotch. Whiskey without an E is an American-made whiskey. Scotch is only made in Scotland.
My mind is blown.
Jake's like, this is a whole new world. He's like singing right now, a whole new world. I did not.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble with my first editor for spelling the wrong whiskey when I was referring to a single malt.
Yeah, we don't want to have that happen.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there.
He's like, I'm assuming that's wrong.
I know things, Brent. Morehouse. Yeah,
I've listened to this podcast. I learned a lot of things in this episode.
I know things now. I am all about knowing all the drinks.
All right. What's my favorite drink?
Seltzer.
Nope.
But it's the last thing that I saw you drink.
Yeah, but that's not my favorite drink.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, well, anyways. My favorite drink is a vodka cranberry. Love a vodka
cranberry. So fruity.
So good. Anyways, we are out of time, Jake.
Yes.
We are out of time.
I know.
With a quick hour. Very quick hour, actually.
Brandon.
Yes.
What do we have next week?
Oh, shit. I should look that up, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should.
Next week, we're talking about the balance of writing versus overwriting.
Ooh.
Underwriting versus overwriting.
Yay.
Yeah.
Please jump over to any streaming platform and give us a listen. If you could, jump on podbean.com, give us a follow so you can keep up to date on all of the latest episodes.
Yes.
Right away. It'll give you notifications.
Tell your friends. Tell your writer friends for sure.
We're over on Facebook too.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of downloads. 929 total downloads so far. So
we're doing awesome.
Yeah, we're doing great. So, all right, everyone. Thank you for showing up and listening and participating in the conversation. We love you all. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
And cheers to all of you. Go and have whatever drink you
like. Yeah, have a green beer this weekend.
Yay.
Yes. Green beers. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.